We're good.
Every time.
We're good now?
We're
live.
We're on.
Yeah,
make it. Make
yeah,
it.
Go,
we're
go,
live
go.
Again! Woo! Woo!
Oh, behold. Just wait till he gets Wee! Back. Just wait.
The Spider Wee! Mag.
Vega, I'm sorry. We weren't actually live. You have to do it again.
Three times.
It's got, no, his
gotta,
head.
Gotta go for a third time, dude.
I'm not doing it again.
Could you do that one more time?
Like more. Zero times. More. Zero three, more times.
Didn't kick
my
in
life.
Right away.
Unbelievable. No, it's just over. I quit this podcast. I'm done. How do I end this call and never talk to you guys again?
That was amazing. I thoroughly enjoyed that. But
well
yeah,
done. Glad.
So you're no longer Mega Ill Witch anymore.
Good. I need to change that stereotype because people keep making me do it. And I'm tired of doing it, all right? I'm just tired. Tired of that. I'm just going to be catching my breath for the next couple
minutes.
You sit
there and you relax for just a minute. Link,
yo,
kick us off here, buddy. Who are we? Where are we? What's going on?
What's happening?
I don't know. Who are you guys? I heard, this was a post WrestleMania podcast, right, Mega?
It is.
That's what I'm here for.
That's right.
I'm here to talk
because WrestleMania runs wild all over you.
That's right.
We're gonna get
here. The Guardians in the world of Destiny, brother. And let me tell you something about the Guardians. They come and they put that 1, 2, 3 down on the darkness. And brother, let me tell you, they put them down hard like you have never seen in your first, second, third, or fourth lifetime, brother. Cause you've got a Guardian and you can come back for that. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Brother Podcast of Planet Destiny, episode 116, brother. And I can't do that for the rest of the show. That was too much.
I'm hoping that you would. That was so good.
Yeah.
Yes. I watch a lot of wrestling, so.
That was really good.
Was that the real Hulk Hogan here talking to us?
It was the legitimate Hulk Hogan. And you better run, brother, because this is the PD Podcast, man. We're a bunch of absolute professionals coming to drop some news bombs on people. Except there's no news this week. We're just here to talk about
so many updates and new things and
great.
The siege news that got leaked and
those
the
were
siege news
everything.
Let me tell you, I was shocked and impressed by those nudes. That's all I can say. Honestly, I can't believe he has a 6-pack. Can you guys?
No,
just did not expect.
I counted 12, not 6. I just like kept going. He had more pack than stomach. Very impressive.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
There's
man.
Obviously plenty of Destiny content to talk about this week.
Oodles, like it's
going down a dark path.
Before we get too far into this, before we get too far into it, it's lovely to hear your voice again, Bones. For me,
yeah.
Since
it's lovely to hear yours.
We've been dodging each other purposefully since our huge Twitter beef about emblems, you know, months ago. So now we're finally on
heavy.
The podcast again.
Which, by the way,
here's where we finally figure out who's right and who's wrong tonight.
Oh shit! Rip. I actually do kind of like the new emblems.
They are pretty good.
They're nice.
There's some good ones.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
All right, the challenges emblems.
Have you guys finished your Age of Triumph books yet?
Nope.
Or at least 100%?
Hell no.
Nope.
I'm at like 99 on mine, and I don't really want to like...
Man.
I don't know what else to do to complete it.
He's keeping that last node until
well,
the day
in
that
the
they turn off
you,
the Destiny 1 servers.
I think the last
what's
one is just like... I mean, besides just like grinding out like melee kills on a hunter.
That's what it is. He's never. He's
oh,
never
nice
been
one, dude. Actually, no, I haven't done much trials. I only have the flawless one finished because I haven't done much trials in the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, this
but I gotta
exposed.
Yeah, I gotta do the Axis challenge mode, for like the last challenge mode emblem or whatever, and I'm really like not looking forward to that because. That challenge mode, for some reason, is harder to me than the other ones.
Well, that's because it's a hard challenge. I still haven't done it.
It is.
And the reason why is because it's too much coordination. You have to process too many things in too small of a time because, of course, you know, you have to get your empowerment. The person who's empowered still has to slam Axis, but before they can slam Axis, you have a 3-second window where one of the other two people who are empowered has to go and charge out their super. And just in a live fire environment, that's really hard to coordinate. I mean, I know a lot of teams who get it done every single week and carry people through that, and thank God for them, because it's not me.
I'm going to look them up.
It's too much. Yeah. carries, please. We take.
Do you know that? Do you know their names, TBL? Can you send us to those
guys? Drop a little plug.
I was kind of counting on you.
There's this cool guy, Tefty Holtzman. Small people. You've never heard of them before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bill.
Not familiar. Actually, wait, weren't they guests on this podcast once? Like one time? I feel
we
really
kind of
long,
made
yeah.
their career, you know. So.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Basically established them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That being said, though, I just a few minutes ago finished my third Atheon clear of the week, and nice. Vault is pretty intense, and it's good. I think the challenge modes are tough, and they're fun. You feel pretty accomplished once you do nail that Atheon challenge mode, because that one requires, similar to the Axis one, a lot of like coordination in a very short window of time, and it's really satisfying once you get it down. But it's a good raid, and I got lots of loot.
Yep,
very fun.
Yes, agreed.
Really, really fun. This was the first time in a really long time that I did the raid on all three of my guardians in 1 week. Mm. I can't remember the last time I did that. Seriously, I cannot remember the last time I did that.
Yeah, but did you do that specifically because it was amazing, or were you chasing the Vex Mythoclast?
No, I just did it because I wanted to. I don't know. I just,
no, let's
Fallout's
get
like, as if I would ever attempt to use the Vex Mythoclast,
right?
You think I am,
Yeah, how to bring a slingshot into PvP.
Yeah.
But no, it was fun. I don't know. I just booted up Vogue with a couple of friends that we hadn't played in a while, and I was like, yeah, this is really, I don't know, it was entertaining. And I liked hunting down the Gorgons and killing each one in that part of the raid. That was so much fun. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, I don't want to name drop, I mean, but I did it with this guy named Fallout Plays. You know, he and I did it together, but yeah. Yeah, I agree, though. The Gorgons part was definitely my favorite thing of all of it. It was a challenge, but it wasn't like frustrating. It was like goofy fun.
It's goofy fun. Yeah.
I'm hunting Gorgons.
And we had the people with the raised lighter sword, and they were whacking the final Gorgon, and he whacked him, and he slid up the wall, and everyone was like, oh shit, like bring him back down.
We got him at like the last like second. It was terrifying. Gosh.
He had
really
a beef stick of help
wipe.
With like a second left, and
we catapulted a numerous amount of those Gorgons with the Dark Drinker. They literally went flying across the labyrinth. They were like, no, come back, please.
Yeah, if they're on any sort of incline and you hit them with like a sword special, they just like, you know, got to go fast right on out of there.
Chase
and that usually means you're dead. But yeah, you know, Vault of Glass, it's back, and it's a lot of fun. I've gone through it a couple of times this week, like three or four times this week. You know, it's my favorite raid. It's my favorite bit of content that Destiny ever produced, and it's definitely held up. I've had a lot of fun with it, and a lot of fun getting through the challenges in there. The Templar challenge seems to be the one that hangs most crews. That seems to be the thing that takes most people to the most time to complete, and that was certainly true of my case. People were dying to like silly things, you know, getting hugged by supplicants during the conflux. Or just dropping off the cliff when they've got the relic during the Templar fight. But overall, it's been a really, really enjoyable time running through there. I can't wait to, you know, do it again and get more rewards for it. I got my Mythoclast, though.
Oh,
nice.
Me too.
That was the only thing I didn't get, man.
Really? My favorite part of Vault of Glass, I just want to say, was watching TBL run it like the day it came out at 390 now, because I've watched him do it so many times, like way above light, and it was just like suddenly things could kill him, and it was like it was like Superman when Kryptonite's around him. He doesn't know what to do anymore. Like, what's happening to me?
Vex called their older brothers.
A couple of times those hobgoblins during the Templar tap you, and it's like, oh, this hurts. My shield is gone. Rip.
You know, you know the time? So you go into it opens up and you go inside after you make the spire pop up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's that first drop off where you go down to like find the hidden chests. You know what I'm talking about? You have to jump over a cliff and like go through the tiny hole or whatever. And if you're like a hunter or a titan, that's pretty easy. Really easy for a hunter, because you just fall off and then you're just like boop and you just hop right in, right? So I played with my warlock first time through, and I took like 10 minutes to get into that goddamn hole, because like you have to time it just right, because if you time the floof too late, you just floof straight down.
Yeah, you don't have enough like horizontal momentum.
Yeah, I'm used to floofing in PvP, where warlock surfing, your goal is to push yourself into the ground as hard as you can so you can, like, bounce off the ground and skate around. And I'm just like, fuck, I can't get in the goddamn hole. And, like, everyone is just, like, sitting around the chest waiting.
Did you, like, switch jumps to the one warlock jump no one's ever used in, like...
Yeah, I switched.
You just desperate.
Tinker, everyone in the chat was like, no, do this, don't do that. Like, bounce off the wall. And I was like, shut up, everybody, shut up.
I've got this.
I can do that.
That was probably the greatest, the most satisfying moment of Destiny ever for me, is watching Fallout struggle with something.
Sitting over there eating popcorn while
I was
like,
I was just chilling on that chest, like, man, is this guy ever going to get here? What's going on?
Oh, man.
How many times did I hear Fallout go, I got it, and then Guardian down afterwards?
Link, you would have been proud of me, man, because I went through the first time, and everyone was, like, telling me, you know, what to do for the challenge mode, and I was like, okay, cool, cool. And I'm, like, trying to figure out how to do it better and better. And then by the second time, I really had a handle on it. And then by the third time, I was helping my friends through the raid. Like, I raid Sherped people.
There
which
we go.
Never has happened ever. And they're my friends. Like, they were my original team from year one Destiny. And, like, they were the ones who took me through all the raids. And here I am showing them how to do the Templar challenge mode in, like, this new fancy way that they hadn't heard about. And I don't know. It was awesome. I had a really good time.
What's I have to say, my favorite, one of my favorite things. Oh, favorite loot?
Yeah.
We can talk about loot.
Yes.
I got the Praetorian foil, and that was. I got the timepiece was also another gun I had never had because those were so rare. So it was really cool to just to get a gun that I'd never, ever used before, which is not too common these days when you play as much as us. But that gun is a monster, and. It's great for the raid because you can one-shot an Oracle. So in the Atheon section, it's just like switch that out, vote it once, get back out of there. Mm-hmm. Really great. But in PvP, I actually really enjoy it too. And reactive reload does not perk a lot. Really hard to get mm-hmm. perked. But it usually kills in 4 bolts. And when with reactive reload, each bolt does 67. So you can kill in 3 bolts on a fusion rifle, which is just like insane. But I've got some crazy distance voops in that from that gun. I'm very happy to have that one. New part of my loadout.
I was pretty happy with my guns, except for I didn't get a single legendary primary. I got only exotics from Vogue. Like, son of a bitch. I just want to be able to equip, like, Fatebringer and Sleeper during the raid or something.
Yeah.
Like,
I
don't know.
Yeah, I got the legendary Atheons, and that one's really, really helpful for Atheon phase 2, because you can get out of a detainment field really quickly and get an Oracle if you need to with primary. So it's definitely nice to have those legendary vault weapons. I also really enjoyed after I had got a bunch of guns, because I got so many guns in my first two runs that my running on my warlock for the third time was cool to have full sets of vault gear, which was like the way to do it back in the day, because you needed all of those Oracle perks and stuff. And it was so cool to just be like running vault. Put on all my vault stuff. Yeah. That's what made it really fun for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Mega. I got pretty much all the primaries except for the epilogue, which is fine by me because I got my Fatebringer and my Vision of Confluence on like the same run. So I was super happy about that. But I didn't get any legendary primaries until my third run when I got one legendary Fatebringer, and it was like, I mean, I'd like to use Vision of Confluence too, but okay. It's kind of the opposite of what I got with Crota's End, where it's just like I got everything on my first three runs, legendary and exotic ones.
That's such a year three first person problem. Like, if we could talk to year two versions of ourselves, but I only got the exotic Fatebringer. Like, just punch your future self.
I'm sorry, you got six new guns this week, and you're bitching right now. My bad.
It's only really the armor that's like reserved, isn't it? Really, because I don't think anyone gets a huge percentage of armor drops.
Actually, no, I got all of it except for the legs on both my Titan and my Hunter.
Cool.
Like, I was stacked with armor. I was perfect for me because the armor is what I need more than anything for my shit. So,
Same here. I still have as of yet to get any armor from Crota's End. None.
Well,
got anything from him?
Wow,
none.
That's crazy.
I think I got one piece of armor, and it was like the chest piece for my Hunter. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's been 2 weeks. So,
jeez.
I'm a bad person. I got the only armor I got was the helmet from my Hunter. And when I got it, I was like, yeah, dude, like, I never got the Hunter Vog helmet before. It looks so cool with, like, the Vex light in the middle, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, what a cool design. And then, like, later that night, I was on Item Manager, and I opened it up, and I was like, 88%. I'm gonna confuse it really yeah. It's like, what have yeah. I done?
RIP.
Yeah, I have some really bad gear that I've just ornamented, because it's just like, I'm never going to get a good yeah. drop. I can't just yeah. sit on ornaments for up until Destiny 2, so I've just dealt with it, but I've got my my Crota helmet is 96%, and I'm just like, great, something that's I can enough. Actually wear, and everything yeah. else will just be yeah. PvE in the tower.
I got a yeah. good pair of Vault of Glass legs for Warlock. I got the Vex legs.
Oh, dang it, I'm Ooh. Jealous.
And that
I
was
want
all,
those so badly.
All right. They weren't the best, but like I had a chest piece with sidearm ammo, and a really bad stat roll on it.
I mean, not that long ago, that would have been an awful waste of a perk, and now yeah. look at us now. We're like, okay, well, that's not that's pretty
how
good.
Far things have gone.
I remember. I just want to say, I specifically remember a few like a month ago or 2 months ago, reading Bones' tweets where he's like, "I'm never gonna want anything with sidearm ammo perks on it." Like you tweeted that, and I just think it's really funny that that's like now that's the meta. Like that's the thing.
To be honest, I still just like don't
I know
even equip
yeah,
sidearm
I know you still
perks.
Don't want it.
I'm just like screw this. Like,
Bones is a little guns, silent like protest that. To Bungie every single
yeah,
time.
Well,
he's
like
I'm not putting this on.
And now that all the raid gear I get, I'm definitely not using sidearms in a raid.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm yeah. using shotguns in raid. I'm using fusion rifles mm-hmm. with Praetorian foil in certain instances, and definitely using a sniper. But I still don't want a sidearm. That doesn't help me in any way. So to get raid armor with that is just like insulting.
It's a shame.
Insulting. So angry. How dare you?
Yeah. Okay. So of course.
Sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Nothing I was going to say is important.
Okay.
Do it.
Oh, same here, man. I got Praetorian foil as well for the second time, because the first time round I got it, I think it was towards the very end of year one, and I got it and I deleted it, and I felt very silly. So I got a second chance. I had a chance to redeem myself this time around, and I'm looking forward to spinning that one.
It's a good gun. I mean, I think there's certain cases where, like, in the earlier phases, or if there's a Praetorian in front of you and you need to keep it off the point, sometimes a shotgun just does the DPS faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you are regularly using reactive reload, a full charge can almost kill a Praetorian, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a really heavy-hitting special, so it's the one time I'm going to use a fusion in PvE, and that's just because it has a very unique...
Yeah.
It has unique perks on it.
Yeah. Unique set of perks.
Yeah.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about the gear we've gotten. What did you guys think about the challenges for Vault of Glass themselves? Did you guys think they were rough, easy?
You know what? Cool. I think they were pretty tough, but I have to say that running the Relic in Templar is one of my favorite Destiny experiences.
Yeah.
And I get a lot out of the carried items. I love sword. I love cannons in Axis. I always want to be the cannon guy because it's so fun
yeah.
to fly around and get those like long distance tags on
yeah.
the where you just feel like kind of a hot shot, but no
you
one
feel
would
like
ever
a hero
care.
When everybody's like, when everybody is like, arc on left, and you just zoom in. And
yeah, and you're like, I'm
it.
Already
yeah.
there, man. I nailed it already. Like you called out arc on left while I was
yeah.
blowing it up.
Oh
yeah.
No, that's my favorite thing. When they're like, you got to shoot it, and like I'm turning away, and it explodes
yeah,
behind me. I'm like,
right.
oh yeah.
You're doing the walk away, hold the charge a little bit. Yeah. But today I did. We did a bunch of attempts, and most of the strategies I used were just relic takes. The one pillar and two bubbles handle with the other teleport. But today I got to carry it and we did the relic strategy blocking both teleports where you basically
yeah.
butterfly yep. around the back pillars and go
That's
back
the one
and
I
forth.
Did, yeah.
So mm-hmm. much fun. I just love being that guy that has to like jump into it in the right time and hold the shield yeah. and fly around and pick up some blessings on my way through a bubble around the back. It's just a really, really fun strategy. And honestly, one of the safer ones, even if you can, you know, there's those guys like Esoteric uploading clips of like how to kill Templar in 30 seconds total, and I'm just like,
my
team cannot handle that.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, you're definitely right about that. The being the Relic Runner was always one of my favorite things, and it's one of the reasons why Vault of Glass is my favorite experience in Destiny. Mm-hmm. Because it's just such a cool experience. You pick that thing up, you're swinging yourself all over the battlefield, you've got this shield, you've got a super, you're so integral to the fight, and it just feels, you feel like an agile blade, a more agile blade dancer with the yeah. Relic Shield, in my opinion. And it's just a really, really fun way to play. And yeah, you know, I noticed that a lot of teams were kind of trying to still do the old strat, which is everybody goes to right side and tries to sit by a pillar. And that doesn't work so well when everything's 390 and like you're preventing teleports and suddenly there's 8 Praetorians right on top of you. And yes, but people sitting in like the back and the mid where you kind of skate through if you're butterflying between the two points is a really good strategy, because most of the a lot of enemies spawn there, but they all move to like the left or the right and leave that area kind of empty. So that's a great strat for teams who are having trouble with the Templar.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Overall, I thought the challenge, you know, they didn't really change too much there other than the fact that you you can't cleanse oracles now. You have to destroy them. I thought that was a really good change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but you're preventing teleports, you only really have to worry about the first round of oracles, and then the rest is just staying alive and keeping the teleports from happening. And I thought that was a good challenge. I think it's probably the hardest part of Vault of Glass right now, at least based on the experiences that I've been through. But I thought it was fun. Really yeah, fun. I enjoy it.
I had a blonde moment when one of the oracles I noticed was red. I was like, oh, look, it's a different color. It was as if I went past the shop window and saw something really nice on sale, and everything just stopped. So I was like, oracle's a different color. Wow.
It's pretty, yeah. And more murderous because you can't skip it anymore. If you, yeah. If you ignore it, you're gone, which yeah. is a good way to handle that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay, so I've been waiting all week to ask this to you guys in particular, and of course to everybody in chat and everybody who's going to be listening to this or watching this later on. Okay, so Bungie made the statement that the Athian challenge was going to be the hardest thing they ever did in Destiny. Now that you guys have all played it, do you think it's the hardest challenge in the game?
Yo, I curb stomped that motherfucker. Yeah. One damage round.
Exactly. He's done.
Agreed. Like, I played with a good, but really good bunch of strapping folks, so I don't know. Like, I wouldn't, maybe not the hardest, no. Like, super easy.
Maybe they meant
no.
it was the hardest because you'll keep accidentally sleepering yourself, killing the oracles, like I did, that. Like, oh, 8 times.
Did that.
We you had know, more than a few wipes because of that, and I don't know how we just kept... I've never killed myself a sleeper before this week, like, every fucking... Yeah. Yeah,
it does happen.
It's just...
Yeah.
So many rounds start immediately.
The thing I think that is kind of interesting is, like, when they say harder, is it, like... Are your odds for completing it lower? Would yeah. it change if Atheon had 4 times the damage, so you had to do something 4 times, like Kingsfall? You know, there's like how many times you have to do Oryx challenge mode. You kind of do the cycle 4 times and then blow up all the bombs. Is that technically more difficult, or is the Atheon more technically challenging? I think the Atheon health pool definitely impacts what if it feels hard or not.
Yeah.
That might change my opinion if it were like, okay, you got to do this 4 times. But mm-hmm. I just did it with a 2-time clear today, and the first couple times we definitely went for the 1 phase, but today
sometimes
we did not have...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't have sometimes. Someone with sleeper or anything else, so we just sort of knew our DPS would be lower. So that instead of going totally ham on Atheon at 10 seconds, we all just killed supplicants and hopped out and just played it real safe, and we just got good at the oracles part, so... yeah, I don't know if it was this difficult, but I think what really strikes me is kind of nice about a raid where you wipe a lot, because that's what you do in a raid. Sometimes you die over yeah. and over and over, and one person misses a jump, and you all just say, all right, that's a wipe. I like that the engagement is not like 20 minutes long, because
yes.
the worst,
yeah.
worst thing about King's Fall and why people don't like it is you get so far into those rotations, like I was saying, and then someone's yep. like, miss my jump, and you're like,
oh my god,
okay, that was 18 minutes we just spent, now start
yeah.
over. At least in Atheon, it's like,
yeah.
I missed my oracle,
the other room.
But it's all about, it's been about, what, a minute 40 since we started over, so we don't, it's same with Templar, where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, let's just start over, and I think yeah. that makes it so much more worth it to just keep that grind and try again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. If it's like what you were saying about his damage, if it took multiple rotations to beat that, like more than two to beat Atheon, I think it would easily be like one of the hardest things, just because I found myself like, you burn through your ammo after a couple rotations of ways to kill oracles quickly. And then it's like, mm-hmm. I'm just stuck with a primary only, and we all have to kill oracles like really yeah. like that fast. That would be brutal because there's not
at
a
that
second
point it becomes
to like
necessary
stop and pop synths really yeah, like in the middle of the encounter.
You would have to have a raid primary to kill oracles mm-hmm. fast enough to use
yeah,
your primary ammo,
yeah.
which would mm-hmm. make that a big requirement.
Yeah.
And we've got King's Fall to look forward to.
Have fun with that next week.
Yeah,
it's this week. Yeah,
yeah.
I was sort of talking about that with the squad and sort of thinking like, well, these challenge modes aren't different, right? There's no changes to these, so we've done the challenge modes, and they'll all be active, which is great. But it's not as bad as it sounds because my plan was to just skip Golgoroth challenge mode. I mean, still kill him, but skip the challenge mode. So if you're doing it that way, you do War Priest Challenge, which is, at this point, the easiest way to defeat the War Priest, is to do it in the three phases. That's just how you should play it. So there, you get an Age of Triumph ornament for that. Forget Golgoroth, because that one is a pain and very difficult. and this raid is long. And then just move on and do King's Fall. And if your team mm-hmm. likes the challenge mode, I tend to think the challenge mode is probably the easiest way to do it, just because you're not doing four instances of getting bombs off. And there you go. Then you get plenty of stuff, and you don't have to worry about Golgoroth. If you do need that, if you have not done Golgoroth, then good luck. Yeah. Challenge mode sucks, but for those of us who have done it a bunch in year two, it's definitely, I think it'd just be a nicer experience to not go, all right, tonight we got to do three challenge modes, and we'll be here for 5 hours.
It definitely is going to suck for someone who's never done any of the King's Fall challenges, whoever that might be.
Well,
sitting
if you're
here.
Out there.
I avoided them like the plague. I was like, after doing King's Fall a couple times and having all those frustrating moments like you mentioned of wiping after long attempts at segments, I was like, I think I'm just going to pass completely on making them more difficult. I think that's just not going to be a thing that I ever try to do, so... Yeah. I got that to look forward to. I have to do it now. So I'm a little bit excited and also terrified for what's coming.
At a certain point, you kind of feel like a degenerate gambler in Vegas because you're just like, oh my God, I'm down like 5,000 at the table. Like, I need to just walk away. I've been doing this raid for like 4 hours. Haven't completed the challenge. I just need to walk away, but I want to break even. We got to do it this time. No. One more time, please.
Got to complete it.
You missed the jump, Kevin. You fucking bastard. God.
It's even harder if you're like streaming while you play the raid, because you don't want to end on failing if there's people watching God, and they watched you try so many times. You're like, we can't fucking end this until we at least beat this part. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait. The funny thing about doing three raids in a week now, which is not something I did very much before this either, mm-hmm. is like, when you're doing it with like a regular group and you're going like, okay, guys, well, let's set up, we'll do it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. We messed it up. I think this happened in Crota, but we were like all using just the character we wanted to use. And then we're like, all right, let's do it again. And we hop in and we're like, we have five warlocks. You guys all used your Titans and Hunters.
Good team comp.
So we ended up having to just get checkpoints and bringing in a Titan to do Crota and then like killing Crota a second time for our ults and stuff. But like we made that mistake and now we're going like, okay, someone has to use you know, their warlock for this one, so we don't have five at the end of the week, because that's just, Titans are the new heroes. I mean, they are the raid heroes. They're now the best sword carriers. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Titans are fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Titans, they were always, you know, pretty darn good in PvE, and defenders were always the heroes of raids, and I think that's never been more true than now. Mm-hmm. When do you go through a Crota run without at least one Titan there to protect people with a bubble from those pesky tower knights and that spooky wizard that spawns if you, you know, poke them in the butt? And, you know, that's good, because I've seen a lot of build diversity in the past couple of weeks with these raids, but Titans have... really taken a shining spot. Yeah. And I like that because, you know, Defender is a class that you don't see too often out there in the world. And I'm glad that they're seeing a little bit more of the sunshine right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was I had a lot of fun running the sword on a defender, which again, yeah. I don't really run Titan in raids too often too, so it's kind of like a new fun thing for me. But I'm like really getting close to getting those like perfect sword runs, and because we do the two bubbles on the rocks, get the weapons and blessings, so when you hop
yeah.
up,
oh yeah,
you're just ready to go. And I really want to get to the three phase thing, like three kneels, because I got a sword where I got Crota down to like three-fourths yeah. of the damage was done already, and I got back to the center room and then, you know, scoped in across to see where his damage was, and I was like, oh my god, I wrecked him, and I was just like,
best feeling yeah. ever.
So I want to try to get to, I want to see if I can do like a one sword thing. That'd be nuts.
People who are good sword bearers are like the most impressive. They're like, they're the greatest heroes in my life, honestly. Like, I love them more than anything. The only times that I've done like Crota that we didn't have like a good sword bearer, we were just struggling, like trying to do the challenge forever. Like it took us like an hour, just like we kept having one person fuck up the sword because we only had like two people who ever run it, and we weren't good enough to take him down in two phases. And then
yeah.
And then we brought in one of my friends who's like amazing at raids, and he grabs the sword and gets Crota down like how you got him. Like he's like, I could have done better damage. I was like, yeah. What the fuck are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Really funny. You know, yeah. When they did Crota the week before for the new raid or new 390 raid,
yeah.
That was the first time I had ever been a sword bearer on Crota.
Really?
Ever.
Nice. Me too.
Yeah, because
me too.
When you would do raids back in the day, everyone had like, I mean, at least in my group, everyone had their defined role.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. once you went through it and we're like, okay, same yeah. time next week. Great. Why would you change anything? Yeah. You want to do the raid as quickly as you can. And yeah. I was with a new group and I was streaming and I was like, you know what? I want to do the sword. I want to do it.
Yeah.
And at first it was like, what the frick am I doing? But then, you know, you do it like three times and I'm like, yeah, I've seen my brother do this like a million times. So like, I just love the feeling like you get the timing just right. Like you yeah. jump up from the rock as the rockets are coming in. The timing is key. So like yeah. right when you swing over to him, he's taking that knee, and that's like the best feeling ever. Right when you get there, he starts going down. You're like, oh, you're gonna get fucking murdered right now.
Ah, bitch.
And then both that feeling, you're just like, oh, take it, yeah. you bastard. And then like you run back to the room and you're like, how much did I do? How much did I do? Like, oh, dude, I did 75%. Yeah, motherfucker.
Once I got the hang of the super, because the sword super helps you cancel the smash animation.
Yeah.
And that's where it's just like, I realized like never should this raid take more than two swords. You can do it comfortably. You know, you don't have to try to go for 75, but if you do 60%, you're golden. Just make mm-hmm. it easier for your second sword bearer. But once you get a hang of that and leaving some orbs up there, so when you pick up the sword, you're closer to that super, and then it's just like
yeah.
smash, super smash, and you're just like, you feel awesome.
My first time ever running sword this last week was I was playing in my warlock, which I never play on, and I just remember I grabbed the sword. I was like, all right, this is going to be my moment. I'm going to be a hero. I do the floofy ass warlock jump that I don't know how to do, immediately overshoot the rock and like land behind it and don't get a single hit in my sword bear. I'm like, all right, crushed it.
Off to a good start.
So yeah, I try to avoid running the sword, but you know.
It's just funny yeah. that you said that about the roles Fallout, because I remember like even before Crota hard mode came out, because that was when everyone went to the ledge. I remember I was mm-hmm. really proud of myself for being the guy to like snipe the boomers, and we used to put like yeah. two people, and I'm like, no, I can solo the boomers and stuff, and I'm just like,
whoa,
I do miss
job.
Having
that's
a
what I do.
Like I don't mind. Hey, it's like my turn to run my warlock on the next two raids. I'll have a sword bearing character. That's fine, but like it is kind of boring to just go out there, shoot a rocket. Shoot a rocket. Yeah. All right, let's yeah. go back inside. It's just like, man, I miss having something to do here. And there was, but I'll take that over spending any longer in a raid like mm-hmm. we used to.
Yeah.
Getting the defined roles down. And you know, that's a thing with really raids in any sort of MMO. You know, it happened in Vault of Glass. People had defined roles where before they randomized the teleports during Athian, that people yeah. would do that. They'd say, okay,
yeah.
Who here has ever held a relic? Okay, you and you. All right, you two move forward. Everybody else move back. And then, you know, because they would control that teleport. And it kind of sucks that Bungie changed that. I understand what they did. And it's ultimately a good thing because, you know, it forced everybody to learn the encounter. But yeah, you know, having those designated roles and specifically for sword bearers, it's really impressive, the time, mastering that timing to get up there. Because you're absolutely right, Fallout. When you get a, when you have that sword and you call for the rockets, you have to be up there right as those rockets are coming in before they hit, so you can get the maximum amount of damage out with that combo. And on your second, on your second Neil, you should have built up your super, and you, just like Bone said, you can cancel the set, the R2 slam with the super. And if you're fast enough, you can actually get in an R1, R1, R2, which is the uppercut combo, slam, super, and then one more swing in before you go flying on out of there if you're up there perfectly. Mm-hmm. And the timing for that, I'm always ludicrously impressed by people who can always get up there perfectly and nail that stuff. It's really good stuff. And you know, that's why running relics or swords is always one of my favorite things to do. It's just a fun feeling. You know, you grab that sword, you fly around there. It's fun to get up there and do that stuff. And I'm glad that those experiences are back and relevant right now in the game.
You bring up an interesting point about... what do you want to stop about?
Okay. It's very important to me. TBL said Atheon, and I just want to know if he's always said Atheon or if he said Atheon at one point and he has changed since, since the trailer came out. Because
finally,
because I've started saying Atheon now, and but I always said Atheon. I just want to know if it's been a switch.
All right, now this is something I have been waiting almost 3 years for somebody to call me on, for somebody to say. I know you're a fan of Bill Burr, Mega.
Yes.
Do you listen to his podcast?
Yes.
Modal? Ever since year one, I haven't really known exactly how you're supposed to pronounce it, so I always said it both ways. Like, some weeks in videos, I'd say Atheon, and then next week in videos, I'd say Atheon. Sometimes, especially in Planet Destiny videos, just to mess with the audience and see what they would freak out and say, like, no, it's Atheon. No, it's Atheon. And I've been doing that for like the 3 years that this game has been out, waiting for somebody to finally be like, wait, you said it both ways. And now that we've got a trailer officially saying Atheon.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool. So thank you. It took 3 years, but thank you, Mega.
No problem.
You did it, man.
I just want to know.
The thing.
If how
I think
says
it's
that,
like
very important to me.
Story and the speaker both say aluminium.
Aluminium.
And I say aluminum. And the speaker can say Atheon all he wants, and it's Atheon to me, because that's just
preach it, Bones.
How we say it.
So we all agree that Story and the speaker and people with weird accents say things wrong. And the rest of us say them right.
No, just completely different.
Yeah, you know, his name is Atheon. You know, so when you say Atheon.
Atheon.
His real name is actually Ethan. He's very angry
Ethan.
About that.
Oh, just lost in vex translation there, huh?
Freaking speaker. I'm not taking pronunciation advice from people who wear masks with no eye holes on them.
Yeah, man.
How do you know what you're reading? Yeah. Right?
Right.
Oh my gosh, you're opening up my eyes right now to how wrong he is. All right, so that's my sidetrack. That's it. I just really wanted to know. I wanted answers on this.
I'm glad you asked.
Yes.
Like I said, you're the chosen one. I've been waiting.
Good.
TBL brought up something interesting about the role and the feeling and stuff like that, but I did want to ask you guys and the chat about, like, what is kind of preferred? Because Destiny is a shooter, and there's raids in this shooter, but it doesn't quite reach the status of an MMO in so many ways. Do you like the Shining Hero role, where someone carries a relic for an entire section, or is stuff like Axis, where everyone has kind of a very equal responsibility, more your taste? Or is there some combination of the two that you prefer in a raid? Because we're going to have a new one fairly soon. We're going to have to go kill... Gaul, I'm just
Gary.
Gonna.
Gary.
You can't just call him Gaul. Like, that's acceptable.
Look,
now.
Some people call him Gary, and some people call him Gaul.
Who you're talking about right now?
I think it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. I certainly like scenarios where people can have set defined roles, and because it gives certain players a sense of purpose, like. You're exactly right. When I the normal group that I raid with, my buddy Black Fox, he loves taking relic and he loves taking sword. That's like his thing. Maybe he just likes being the center of attention, but I don't know. That's been his thing since Destiny started. And I've played tons of other MMOs. You know, I play a tank mostly in MMOs, and I love doing that. You know, I love taking that defined role. And Destiny, you know, it is kind of like an MMO in that it has classes and RPG elements and stuff like that. It's a massively multiplayer online game, but it doesn't take defined roles to the point that, say, Overwatch does, for a first-person shooter. You don't have, like, a defined tank class. Even though Titans are very tanky, you can run a tanky warlock. You can run a tanky tanky hunter. You'd just be laughed at. But I'm not opposed to there being encounters in the game that have set defined roles that, you know, you can choose who to pick. Like, I think a great example of this is actually King's Fall. One of the most dreaded sections, and he's going to hate me for this. I'm going to use my little brother as an example who plays with me all the time. He's fine with taking like relic roles and whatnot, but he absolutely hates being the relic person in King's Fall. During the Daughters phase, when you got to go and jump on the platforms and all that stuff, and the same thing for orcs, he hates that. It always confused him, and like he just never liked the pressure of that situation. Because if you miss a platform, it's like, ah, this kid just ruined our 5-hour run. And I think in situations like that, it's great that during the orcs fight, you can designate who does that. I love that. And during the Daughters fight, you can't. It randomly picks somebody who's torn between dimensions and has that. And
the Daughter's fight is that moment when the teacher randomly calls on you in class and you don't get picked.
Oh, you're just like, of course I don't know.
Rip.
That's a bad teaching strategy as someone who studied education.
Why don't you read the first three paragraphs? How do you shut the fuck up?
but yeah, you know, and so I love sections that you can designate a role and have somebody who's comfortable in that position, knows what to do in that position, take charge and do that. And I also really like the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, the Athian encounter, teleporting people between the past and the future. And, you know, the three people who get teleported may not necessarily know what to do with the relic. They may not have ever been through Vault, know what to do with the oracles, but they still have to learn it. So, like I said, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I think there's a good, healthy mixture of it, and I hope that continues with Destiny 2.
I'm a beta, all right? I'm a beta male when it comes to Destiny. I'm just going to...
Can somebody please clip that? Yeah. I will give $5 to the first person who clips that audio.
Let me clip that
and
real
quick.
Thank
you very much. Thank you.
All right. I know my role, all right? I'm a support bitch. When I play Overwatch, I don't have any... confidence in myself. I play support in that too, because I'm like, I don't want to be the one who has to kill people. So I personally feel the most comfortable and least stressed in the raid throughout when it's those moments where there's a hero moment where like somebody else can take the sword and I don't have to. I'm like, great, this isn't on me. I'm happy right now. But I will say that I do feel more fulfilled in the moment when in those ones where we all have to kind of work together and come together and do stuff. Even though I get a little more stressed about screwing up, when we finally complete it, I feel better. So I think it's better overall design in my mind for it to be the one where we all kind of have to work together, even though it's forced a little bit better for me personally.
You've
as a scared
have a good
little
team,
bitch.
Though. Like, I remember the first time doing Sword on Crota's End way back when it was like the raid. To do like I was never the sword guy. It was always a good friend of ours that played sword, and I just asked, do you mind if I just pick this up and have a go with it? I've never done it, and I don't want to be the one that never steps forward and does it. And they were all like super patient, and having that kind of a team that are like, yeah man, I don't mind playing this for, you know, 15-20 minutes while you get acquainted with twatting Crota with a sword. And it was great, man. And then I got a G-horn out of it, like on first one on PlayStation.
Hey, there you go.
See, from running on sword. So when you're with a nice raid team that like has got the time and the patience for that kind of thing, it's real nice, man. So you can step forward and give it a go. But there is
I know
pressure,
that's
though.
Tough in LFG, but like I do recommend people do that. Is just say like and think of, like you can always phrase it this way, where it's like we did this in Vault because we had someone who has not raided much, and we were like, this is, you know, there's no, we can't trigger this. Like, let's just do it a couple times. We'll get the feel for it. Don't think like the first attempt is kill attempt. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, then you feel much better about the third, fourth, and fifth attempts. And you're not thinking like we should have won the first time. So I think that's really important. And at this point, if you've never run the sword, like, please just say like, can I just try it? And I'll just be like, yeah, we'll do that for the warm up rounds. And if you feel like you're killing it, then go.
And it,
I like it. I like it. Beautiful.
I might be alone.
You guys,
as well,
you guys are nicer than my raid team.
I might be alone, but I'm really looking forward to King's Fall on Tuesday.
Like, I kind of am. I've had fun.
I'll watch.
I'll watch. There you go.
I'll watch.
My man.
I have to do it. With Kaiba, I told him I'd do it on the Planet Destiny channel, but I'm not looking forward to it. I don't know. The last time I tried to do King's Fall, I made it like halfway through, and then I was like, oh my god, there's still so much of this left right now that yeah. I just couldn't bring myself to finish it.
Yeah, running that three times on reset day might be a little bit much.
That will be the one I'm not going to do on all three characters, I'm positive. Like, I don't have the time for that.
I want my Warlock helmet, and that's it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm out of there. Same.
I want a Hunter helmet and a Warlock helmet, and maybe Azoli's Bane, because that's got range, so I want to see what that's like. I love the Smite of Meraine as well. That was my favorite pulse rifle, but it's...
Smite of Meraine, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't shine so much anymore these days, but yeah, an exotic version of that wouldn't go amiss, just for... old time's sake. But it's all about them helmets, yeah. Man. Hunter helmet.
Yeah.
Warlock helmet.
The armor.
Warlock helmet is so sick.
And it,
oh, dude. Oh. Yeah, it's pretty much the only reason to run it, in my opinion. I was actually having this kind of inner monologue the other day, like, oh, yeah, next week's King's Fall. I'm probably going to have to run it since, you know, I stream for PD and all that. But then I thought, I don't want any of the weapons for this raid. Literally none of them. Yeah. I want none of them. I could just kind of axe that off. I guess really the only thing I'd be looking forward to would be just getting the armor. And maybe a Smite of Meraine. Mm. Do we know what element the Adept version is going to be? Please tell me Void.
I think it's a Void Arc. I mean, sorry, it's an Arc Scout. An Arc Scout and a...
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I remembered, but, you know, those guns are just so bleh.
I think
the hand cannon might be Void. Which would be
that's my thing. Somebody was talking about like how you've got three challenges, so you can get all the gear faster than you could with the other ones. And I'm like, great, I can get my favorite King's Fall primaries.
That's why I'm skipping Golgoroth. It's because like I don't care that much.
Exactly.
Yeah. And give me to the helmet. That's all I want.
I want the armor. That's what I'm playing for too as well. I actually still use the King's Fall rocket launcher because I'm a weirdo and I love cluster bombs. And I know
that is weird.
Insulting
it's
to you guys
in every way.
Hey, yeah. Don't fucking tell me what to use. I like my bony rocket launcher. All right, how dare you? I am a pleb. All right, I never claimed to be great. I said quite the opposite.
Like he says,
10 minutes ago,
male.
I'm a beta. All right,
a beta.
Yes. Whoa. Whoa!
Just slip that in there.
Jeez. Somebody
no,
was listening.
No, story. He said beta male. He gets beaten by his wife.
Oh, exactly.
It's the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I get you.
Usually there's leather involved.
What the hell are we saying right now?
Planet Destiny rated X.
That's right. Destiny After Dark.
Destiny for the bros.
Did you guys want to go to questions? Because we were trying to... limit ourselves.
Is it already time?
60 minutes.
Well,
yeah, 60 minutes.
While you suss up questions, I have one last story about this week in Destiny from myself. I ended up randomly looking myself up on Trials Report, and I think there's some sort of glitch because my PlayStation account's Elo from only playing with Fallout and the Fun Police ever on there in Trials is 1920 right now for my Elo. So my plan is, what I really want to do is look at LFG posts asking for high elo and try to get
yes,
just troll the shit out of them when they have to play with me. So that's I want to thank Fallout for the rage that is going to be coming at me eventually
I
do that.
That'd make a good video.
This guy on LFG has got a 1900 elo. Man,
people are going to think that I'm running stacked when I'm getting carried by Fallout or something. They're like, oh my god, look at these guys. Why is this one dude got a 1900 ELO and like a 0.4 KD? What the fuck? That's what I'm anticipating. Oh my gosh. But yeah, that's it. That's my last little Destiny story. Get us a question, Fallout. Do your job.
Right on.
I'm stalling. I got a question for your job. Oh,
Bones taking too long.
Thank
I got
God.
One.
Thank God.
Illusion Fox asks, would you like to see old Destiny stuff, armors, ships, etc. in Destiny 2 later in its lifespan?
In a limited capacity.
Yeah. I don't want them to use it as a crutch. It'd be like kind of fun, but I don't want them to be like, well, we don't have to make new stuff because we can just use this old stuff.
I mean, I would be cool if like a few select exotics eventually made their way there. Like, yeah, you know, maybe a Thorn or Yallerhorn or something eventually made its way to Destiny 2 in some way, shape, or form. I wouldn't be mad about that at all. No.
Mm-hmm. I think that I expected them to do it on a very restrained scale, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, because, like, I can imagine the benefits of not bringing over the Arsenal from year one has, like, enabled a fresh slate for D2. So, like, if they were going to bring a lot of stuff back, then they would be presenting possibly the same balancing conundrums that, you know, mm-hmm. were in year one, maybe. But I also love that nostalgia side of it as well. So I guess it can swing both ways and stuff. But ships, yeah, sure. I mean, like, cosmetic stuff, you know, that doesn't present any kind of difficulties or anything. So, yeah. Let's have at it.
Agreed.
Mm. Here, here. Here's a good question from our friend DT. We know him. He was on last week, friend of the show. Three of coins, yay or nay, in some form for Destiny 2. Forge your own path in forge your own path in PvP or run raid umpteen times for exotic.
Oh boy.
I honestly don't like three of coins. I think it's like the least exciting way to get the most exciting weapons. And like, I don't know. Exotic engrams are great. Why not drop those in weird places? Like, the last time an exotic was interesting to me it was the night that math class was solving the Outbreak Prime step. And we were in the raid following along going like, oh, okay, we're like right at that step. Let's do what they're doing. So when we opened that thing and there's a chest in there and you get that first exotic engram, I got Ophidian aspects out of that. Mm. And it was just like, because it was attached to that kind of crazy cool thing. But yeah, I do think there needs to be some sort of accomplishment for that. And honestly, like, I think no few people will agree with me, but I mean, as long as there's other venues, this can't be the only way to get a gun. But if you went if you got like 30 kills with a 5.0 KD, so for whatever stat bar, and you got an exotic, cool. That'd be great. Yeah. I don't mean to say that like the only way to get Thorn is to have the best game in PvP, because that would never work. But honestly, like, it's way that would be great. I'd feel like it'd be so great to just be like, wow, I just destroyed in that match, and then I got this cool gun, as opposed to Tweedledee over there in last place with a 0.2 KD gets the Gallarhorn like you did in year one.
I guess all day.
Yeah, see, I agree with that, because there's like a disconnect almost when you think about like a three of coin dropping an exotic, because exotics are these mythical guns that have this lore surrounding mm-hmm. them, and I just like got it from grinding the same strikes like over and over mm-hmm. again for like the 1,000th time. I killed Valus, and he just happened to have like the fucking last word on him for some reason.
I've got
like
600 strange coins, so I'm going to buy 110 three of coins, and then I'm going to do that every Crucible game while I play Crucible for an hour. It has like nothing of significance. By
I would
the time
like
I get
it
something.
More if the way that you got them. I like when they're linked to quests. I like when they're super hidden, like Outbreak, and I like what Bones said about having like it's specific things you have to achieve to get them. Yeah,
just lame. When Xur shows up and you're like, oh, I really wonder what he has. Oh, that's what he has? Great.
Yeah.
7 more days with no exotic weapon. And me with all these goddamn coins that I'm never going to use.
That's the thing, though. Like, back when exotics were seriously exotic, they were some of the best guns that you could get your hands on.
True.
And I think they had to do something about it. They had to change the system because, like, it was forever, literally forever, you could be trying to get a certain gun that you had an interest in. And like, you know, I've been playing the game for 4 months, still no Hawk Moon. You think, well, how do we deal with that? And like, then I look at my dad, who's, you know, 69, and three of coins have been not just his way to level up with light, but actually to broaden his exotic collection. So when you look at the game on the respect of it is meant for everybody. You know, like things, three of coins do have like a purchase there, I guess. But at the same time, now, like if that conundrum 3 months ago, I'm like, no, three of coins should definitely stay. And now I'm like, you can get exotics almost everywhere now. Yeah. Do we really need them now with having a much more generous loot dropping system, which I think is a bit more beneficial for newcomers and veterans and, you know, casual players as well as the hardcore players. I think that more drops, a more generous nature is a better way around it than three of coins.
Story, you also bring up a good point, is that like all of it was in response to how we got them and the status that they had, and then eventually those things changed. I think quests are probably the best way to do it. And the other thing that I think is going to be kind of refreshing is that there won't be 87, 90 some exotics. like when we start Destiny 2, there will not be that many. So all of them can have a little more importance, a little more like, ooh, I can't wait to get that one. And we'll see. The meta will be revolving around a smaller amount of weapons, which I think will be great. So I'm really excited to just like slim down the inventories quite a bit, and then maybe that with less exotics we can have more importance on achieving whatever you need to do to get them.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a difficult thing for Bungie to balance, in my opinion, because this game, it is a looter shooter, very much in the veins of like say Borderlands, which Borderlands does have kind of the same tiering of weapons as Destiny. You've got your commons, your rares, your legendaries, and your super crazy exotic tier of weapons. Actually, I think they called those legendaries. But in a game like Destiny, I much prefer exotics being tied to quests. I think that's cool. When you're just completing stuff and like you pick up a weird random triangle drop out there in the world and suddenly it starts off the sleeper simulant quest line. I think that's really cool. That's a really awesome feeling to get like, oh, what's this? This is going to take me on a crazy journey to get one of the best weapons in the game. And I love that. But on the other hand, you know, with the amount of guns they had in the game in Destiny 1 with certain exotics, they weren't going to tie all of those behind quests. And I can understand why they put some of those guns just in the game as random drops from enemies, or, you know, put in an item in the game that makes those guns or that makes those items drop randomly, because it is all a part of that carrot on the stick thing, you know, for people who don't have time to get into the quest lines. Like Story said, his dad doesn't get all into the super quest lines and whatever. He's just out there playing, and maybe he just wants a chance at an invective or something like that. And so moving forward, while I do prefer exotics being tied to a quest, I think moving forward, they're probably going to have it much the same as they did in year one, where certain exotics are just going to be out there in the drop pool. Like, maybe tie it even more so to the way, like, Borderlands does it. Certain bosses can drop certain exotics, and those exotics are just out there. And then other exotics are tied behind quest lines. And I think that's probably the most balanced way for them to go forward, and I can't see them moving away from it.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, quest lines are better. They're way better.
It's very fair. Okay, we have a question from Ostenso Jacob. He says, which characters would you like to see play a bigger role in Destiny 2?
I was going to read that question because I thought it was a good one.
Well,
job.
I'm doing the questions today, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. So, good pick. Hey, I was going to say good pick, all right?
Replace.
You're not stepping on my shoes. Dude, I want to see Ikora Ray do more things. I like her. I think she's cool.
Classic warlock.
Ugh. Not just because she's a warlock and like a crucible
lord.
She
was using the shotgun in the trailer and I was like, oh, my heart.
Baby.
My heart.
Everybody expects Cade as an answer, right? So I mean, you can't throw that out.
We all love Cade, right? Yeah. Everybody loves Cade. But Destiny 2 is not the Cade show, right?
I got my answer. I want Varix. I want him to have some sort of badass fallen shit.
There
that
you
comes
go.
Yes. In. All right, that's what I want is Varix.
Dude, Varix's quest in Taken King is my favorite quest line. It's when you go, the wolves are trying to kind of rebuild and they're hiding out on Mars and you kind of just, you find them and you just say like, no, you're all dead. I'm going to root this out before it becomes anything. And like Varix's dialogue while he's talking to you, it's like, you actually do feel like some time has passed. He sort of has a different approach to you because of your experience in the House of Wolves stuff. And it's just really great to have him kind of like have a certain respect for you, and at the end of the quest he's like I hope we have some more like missions together, and he calls you a friend and you're just like, I feel like something happened. This wasn't a random like click boxes off of a window and shoot guys and scan something. I feel like time passed and it so I thought that was the best, and I'd love it if he has a more of a role, especially with all this this lore nonsense about the Fallen kind of leaving and Aldrin maybe recruiting some of them. Maybe Varix will do something because the reef is fine, right? Our stuff should be in the vault over there.
Yeah, it's fine.
No, that one got blown up too.
Nah, dude. It's, okay.
Hits the reef on his way in and just like...
You know, the reef vaults are like the Pokemon PCs, you know, like it's just they're just accessing the servers that are in the fucking tower. So once those crash, the gear's gone. Yeah.
Oh man, that's a good point.
Call me an oddball, but I want the sweeper bot to get sick of it.
That's
I want it to throw his broom down and go, look, man, I am sick of it, and turn into the most evil raid boss or villain that you could ever possibly imagine.
Idea right now, if they had an exotic sword and one of the skins was a sweeper, like the broom, the sweeper bots, would that be the only sword you ever used again?
Amazing.
Done.
If I could kill Taurus, I would pay money for it.
If I could kill him one hit in PvP with something that looked like a broom, I would definitely be sporting that.
The R2 motion is a big sweep forward, so you sweep off the ground and up into him.
I'm trying smack him up into the sky. Like some kind of suicide squad. Like, you roll in up to fight Gary with Varix the sweeper bot and, like, Randall the Vandal or something like
that.
Oh, my God. I want the broom when you get, like, a triple Shaxx, it's like, sweep the floor with them, Guardian. Like, I want that shit in there.
Its own little custom dialogue there. God.
Bungie, why are we doing your job for you on this podcast right now?
Once again,
come on.
You've got the ideas. Yeah, I'm trying to think of... I want the factions to have more of a role. I feel like that was such a thing that was just lost to time when Destiny went through whatever it went through before it came out. But, I mean, there's... Yeah, assuming they get those actors, there's some pretty big names but behind Lakshmi and the gang. And, you know, there's... If you play Clash, Clash is like Dead Orbit's thing. Or New Monarchy is... Control, you know, like all the games have a corresponding faction, so clearly, like something meant to be something. So I'd love it if they have a bit of a role, and maybe they do. Maybe they're all, or maybe they're dead. But like, if the tower is destroyed, New Monarchy will want to do one thing, while Dead Orbit will clearly want to do something else in response to that. Yeah. And it would be great to see if they like, if they actually come to blows and have anything to do besides like standing in their corner, just going like,
yeah, cause that's literally,
what is the speaker doing?
That's their role. It's like, they literally just hang out in the tower all day, like in these little spots and do nothing. Like what are you?
And we don't know who works for them. Like, are there people in the Future War Cult, or is it just Lakshmi?
Yeah. Like he's just,
yeah. It turns out it's just you.
I'm the only one. Who's like, doing I signed up to get the waltz and I'm literally the only one in this clan.
Faction wars, I'd love to. That would be cool.
I would be into
that. Could be a game mode, and I'd love to see them expand upon the faction quests. You know, we got a little bit of that in the expansions for Destiny. But, you know, it's literally just go and talk to hub person, go do thing, come back and talk to hub person. I would love... Destiny 2 is promising a bit more of an expansive story. I'm hoping that has to do with NPCs that you meet out there in the wilds and whatever. And I would love to see factions take a part of that, because Bones is absolutely right. Each faction has a long story. They've got a lot of lore behind them.
Yeah.
New Monarchy is trying to basically take over the city in a democratic way, but rebuild it to recreate the Golden Age. Dead Orbit is saying, F this stuff. We're out to the stars. We need to find other places to settle because Earth is screwed. And Future War Cult's like, nah, brah, fights.
Fights, fights.
Is what's important.
Nah, we should just kill them.
Just kill everybody, man. And there's so much lore there that I would love to see expanded upon in Destiny 2 via quests and whatnot.
I need to, like, brush up on my lore, because you're right, like, there's a lot of it. It's not, like, right there easily readable in the game, which I hope they would fix. But I was doing the Year 3 Gjallarhorn quest on my Xbox, because I got it on PlayStation 4, and I just didn't care. I was like, all right, no more of that. And then last week, I was like, yeah, I should probably get one on Xbox, too. So I was doing it. And they put you on Bannerfall to, like, piece together. You remember that part of the mission? Like, you go to Bannerfall.
So good.
And then my ghost was talking about, like, oh, yeah, there was some point when New Monarchy tried to, like, overthrow the speaker. And I was like, wait, what?
Yep.
Okay, first of all, when did that happen? Second of all, why? And, like, why are they still allowed
to hang out at the tower.
Just chill, like, literally.
And not
like,
only
right
that, they're like 20 feet from the speaker.
From the speaker.
They're just like, standing there going, fucking piece of shit. I'm a fucking
there's some new cutscene where like a new guardian's coming into the tower, and it's like, well, I could tell you about the countless battles, and then some guy in a red hood just runs up and shoves a toothbrush into the speaker's neck, and it's like, oh my god, what's happening? Like, it's weird. I
guardian
want,
down.
Yeah, more lore, please. Because, like, just little tiny snippets, like, I was like, wait, what? Like, just more lore. Please.
You can't just drop
thank
some
you.
Shit like that. Like,
no,
that's
you can't
just normal.
Drop
all
like
of a
that.
Sudden.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, this reminds me of the time that Dead Orbit banged my mom. Anyway, back to the strike.
Anyway, here's this gun.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah. Up, please. Like,
oh, yeah, that'll be gee. Like, you know, there's no ghosts in the trailers because they're off somewhere. And then, like, when we regroup, they're just going to have a bunch of weird stories.
Yeah.
Well, in the past few months, let me tell you what
stuff
happened.
Stuff went down, man.
Yeah.
Nice.
Beautiful. Well.
Yeah.
There we go, then.
Another week of raids, getting that gear, and waiting for D2 to come out. We are... Mm-hmm. A few weeks, let's see, 6 weeks away from the D2 gameplay reveal on May 18th, and that is definitely, I have a countdown app on my phone going just like every day telling me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm somewhat surprised by that. I mean, May is always when Activision gives the okay for their studios to start putting out promotional materials for their new games. That's usually when you see the first bit of information about Call of Duty and stuff like that. So I fully expected us to get like our first trailer for Destiny 2 in May, so we're way ahead of schedule on that front. But when they said we were going to be getting our first look at gameplay, I just assumed it would be a trailer. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be like a 30 to 1 minute or 1 minute and a half of footage, you know, really... Mm-hmm. controlled stock footage in the Crucible and out in the world. But when they said it was going to be a live stream, like live gameplay of Destiny 2 on May 18th, what do you mean? That's 6 weeks cannot pass fast enough for me. I can't believe we're going to be getting live gameplay that early before E3. And I'm psyched about that.
Weren't we looking into some form of cryogenic suspension to try and speed that?
Yes. Now wake up Walt Disney and ask him how he did it.
He said, "You woke me up 6 weeks before the reveal. What are you doing?"
That's what he was waiting for. What do you guys think we're going to be seeing in that?
Oof! I really hope for their sake they don't try to do PvP because they're just going to get so many people shitting on them immediately if they do that. Like. The people are gonna be like, the game's ruined. These guys are awful. That's all that they're gonna say. So hopefully, just some
suboptimal
fun
shots.
Light, I just want to PVE content.
I know you're joking, Mega, but I want to say again. I get nervous playing in front of 1,000 people on the odd times that happens. Mm-hmm. Try same hitting here. Any shots in front of like 220,000 people.
Yeah,
watching
when it's
the stream.
Not your when you're not like a fucking pro player who's great at who expects to have to do that. Like, yeah, that's just
yeah.
Yeah,
trying to be like, I just want to display the new, the last word
stuff. Yeah.
I'm just trying to show the kickback on it, guys. Please calm down.
Oh no one wins this game. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
I don't envy whoever the Bungie person is that's going to be the one who has to play on that Destiny 2 live
for
reveal.
The first
guy.
Destiny 2.
Oh, I hope he whiffs some jump immediately and suicides or something. And just like that's just how it starts.
I want it to be Deej, and he'll just be like, all right, well, these are the folks on the couch, and we're going to go live to the new social space. And if I just walk over here, and then he immediately falls off and dies. Just like, as soon as possible.
Like that time during the before Rise of Iron came out and they were doing the Rise of Iron stream and he fell off the cliff into an out of play zone, but they had barriers turned off so he was just stuck down there. Oh, that was the best.
They had to switch to different devs' camera perspective.
Yeah.
Like,
Go to commercial.
I
wanted to cut to those bars, the no signal. Just, we'll be right back.
Interlude.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Yep. Well.
Well. Enough of this shit. All right.
Wrap it up, and then we'll do a quick rave.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, so much for listening to Planet Destiny Podcast, episode 116. Again, this is the next week of the Age of Triumph. We do have King's Fall coming out this week. So be prepared for that. Get your raid group ready and be prepared for wipes and 5.5-hour runs, because it's probably going to happen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe even more times than that. But all right, before we get on out of here, we're going to do our roundtable, let you guys know where you can find us across the interwebs and what we've got going on. Bones, where you at? What you got going up this week?
Oh, I got nothing going on this week. I'm just hanging out doing raids. You can follow me on Twitter at bones_CR. And then, you know what? Go check out CrucibleRadio.com. There's some new stuff coming from that other little show that I do. So stay tuned.
Ooh.
They do better intro skits than we do.
Mm-hmm.
Over there. I can legitimately say that.
Just Google Fallout Plays. You'll find me.
If it's meant to be, you'll find him.
If it's meant to be, you'll find me.
You know, they say if you throw out an invitation and it comes back to you, it was meant to be.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Let's go the opposite way. Don't follow me on twitch.tv/falloutplays. I swear to God, if any one of you follows me on Twitch, I'm going to be pissed. Right? Just don't do it.
Leave me alone.
Mega, tell them where they can't find you.
Please, God, follow me. You can go to twitch.tv/huskyraid and join the beta boys, the beta squad. All right. We'll be getting shit on by the alphas all day. YouTube.com. Look up Husky Raid. Type Husky Raid in. If it's not a old forum post about the Halo game type, it's probably us. All right. Where can we find you, Story Mephorshine?
Well, you can do a very quick one. Go to the Planet Destiny YouTube page. And along the right hand column, you've got all of us, icons and links and everything. You can go and subscribe.
Easy money.
There you go.
Subscribe. Yeah.
Done.
I don't even feel the need to say one for me, because you just gave them where they can find me. Although, I just want to take a moment to address something. Chat's right. Iron Banner's this week, by the way, guys.
Yeah, I know.
That's happening. It's Control. You don't care.
It's Control, and it's guns that you've already been able to get. I guess if you guys really want an unbent tree, we can talk about the merits of the unbent tree. Yeah, guys, how about that unbent tree?
The auto rifle, your shotguns.
The sky is blue and grass.
Glass
green.
Items. Your gauntlets. Yeah. And that's it.
All right.
Iron Banner.
Yes. Good show, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you next week. Same time. Take care now. Bye-bye then.